Right now it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be discussing big, big cats with Scott Lope of Tampa's Big Cat Rescue. And Scott recently won a national award. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Donna and Andy with Computer Cat here on Talking Animals. This is Donna and Andy with Computer Cat, an animal tune of sorts as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. This show, by the way, was recorded last week. In just a few minutes, we'll be hearing from today's guest, Scott Lope, Director of Operations at Tampa's Big Cat Rescue, one of the world's largest sanctuaries of its kind, housing more than 100 big cats, spanning more than 40 acres. In addition, last month, Scott was named by Animal Planet Hero of the Year, an award recognizing those from across the country who have demonstrated extraordinary service for the welfare of animals. We'll find out more about Big Cat Rescue, the work Scott has done there for more than a decade, the Hero of the Year Award, and more when we speak with Scott Lope in a few moments here on Talking Animals. First, though, it's time for Talking Animals news and announcements. First of all, close to home, I want to let you know, as we told you about last week for the first time, as a WMNF event, we are planning to present the first Talking Animals Festival, which is something of an extension of the radio show. We'll include live music in the form of a multiple-hour, multiple-act concert of local bands performing, that's right, animal songs, a major animal adoption component, tables where local animal groups can provide outreach and vendors can sell animal-oriented products or services, various vegan elements, perhaps a guest speaker or two, animal artwork, and more. So mark your calendars. The Talking Animals Festival will be Sunday, April 11th at the Cuban Club in Ybor City, Tampa, from noon to 4 p.m. If you're interested in getting involved, from tabling to helping us out with the festival, please email talkinganimals@wmnf.org. Thank you. And also coming up on the horizon here, Sue Pike, the animal talker, who was a guest on Talking Animals and is a frequent guest on E-Love's Ultrasound show, will be in for 3 days of play shops and readings January 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Radiance Wellness Center and Tea Lounge. So for more information about the specific play shops and times and things, prices, you can email Sue at ReikiSue, it's R-E-I-K-I-S-U-E, at gmail.com. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Paula Poundstone with a piece called 12 Cats on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I have, we just got 3 new kittens because we had kind of a shortage there for a while. We have 12 cats. Yeah, I know, it's a lot of cats, it is, and it's just as disgusting as you might think it would be. I sift all day long. It's the first thing I do in the morning and the last thing I do at night, and I do it many times in between. And sometimes I'm not even at home and I just kind of have like a residual. People think it's Parkinson's. I said, no, 12 cats. Yeah, it's a lot of cats.
All right, that was Paula Poundstone with a piece called 12 Cats, taken from her album I Heart Jokes. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs, including our recent show with Dr. Jane Goodall. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page. We'd like you to become our fan, and our Twitter page. May we invite you to follow us. Plus, there's a place to subscribe to our email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more, including soon information about the Talking Animals Festival. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to hear from today's guest, Scott Lope. So let me outline a few things about him. As I mentioned earlier, he's Director of Operations at Tampa's Big Cat Rescue, one of the world's largest sanctuaries of its kind, housing more than 100 big cats, lions, tigers, leopards, cougars, servals, and others, spanning more than 40 acres. Scott's also a local boy making very good in that last month, he was named by Animal Planet Hero of the Year, an award recognizing those from across the country who have, quote, demonstrated extraordinary service for the welfare of animals, end quote. Much to discuss here. So in a conversation recorded recently, today's show, of course, is Memrex versus Live, let's welcome Scott Lope to Talking Animals.
Hi, thanks a lot for having me today.
Sure. First, of course, congratulations on being named Animal Planet's Hero of the Year. And in a moment, I want to, of course, address that award and your work at Big Cat Rescue and various related issues. But right now, I'd like to ask you to maybe just plunge us right into the sanctuary. Like, for the benefit of those listening who've never been to Big Cat Rescue, maybe just take a minute or two, if you would, and sort of give us a verbal tour of the facility. What would we see? What are some of the more notable sites?
Well, Big Cat Rescue is obviously a rescue facility, and we're here in North Tampa, and we are about 45 acres. We're located real close to the Citrus Park Mall, and we provide a permanent home for abused, abandoned, and unwanted exotic cats. And basically, they range from little bobcats the whole way up to lions and tigers. And we have about 125 animals here right now, and we do provide a lifelong home. We're not open to the public like the zoo would be. We only do guided tours.
And so maybe you could actually just give us an abbreviated version of one of those tours. Like if we walked in the front gates, maybe you could just at least hit some highlights of things more notable things we might see.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, we're not like a zoo, so we're not. You just don't come and wander about and look at the great animals. You actually come here and we sign you in. You get a tour guide, and we take you out for about an hour and a half walk of the property, and it shows you all of our residents here. And our tour guides are very knowledgeable. They give you a little bit of background. And the really cool part about it, other than seeing some really awesome cats, is that you really get to learn a lot, and you get to learn what you can do to help animals. And I don't mean changing your lifestyle or changing your diet or anything that dramatic, but just little things you can do every day to help animals and really make a difference for animals in captivity and in the wild.
And maybe you could give us an example or two, Scott, and I'm not sure, by the way, where you're standing, but I think your cell is probably not in a great spot. We're just sort of sounds a little rough, but we'll just proceed.
Okay, I can try to step inside if that might be a little better.
Okay.
Okay.
What are some of those just sort of little things that you allude to that we all of us could do every day that would be helpful in this way?
You know, a lot of the animals that we see, they're products of the entertainment industry. And whether that's a circus or just someone that had bought this animal as a pet, a lot of times they were animals that were used in this sort of industry. So it's really what you spend your money on, what kind of TV shows you support, what kind of entertainment things you go to, whether that is a circus or if you see a stand set up with lion cubs, tiger cubs, and you can pay to have your picture taken with them. It's just that difference of what you spend your money on is absolutely huge. And what you make your donations, your charitable donations to, really, that makes a huge difference in the lives of these animals, and also getting some of the laws passed to help protect them.
Okay, cool. We may actually welcome back to some of those things, because I certainly touched on some things I hope to discuss with you. But you know, I guess it'd be great now to get a little more context about you. I mean, I found that people who devote themselves to caring for animals at a sanctuary and a true sanctuary, obviously, as this is, and rescue facility, might have kind of overlapping traits. But when it comes to their backgrounds and the past that led them to this work, it kind of seems like no two stories are quite the same. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your early years, like what roles animals played when you were growing up as a kid, and were there a lot of animals around in your family?
Well, absolutely, and I think when you talk about the differences in the people that work with animals, it's just amazing the different backgrounds that we see in our volunteers here. They're from all walks of life, economically, educationally. It's pretty amazing. But for me personally, I was just the weird kid that always liked animals, and I always had all kinds of pets. I grew up in rural Pennsylvania. So I was surrounded by animals, and there were always orphan raccoons and stray animals that needed homes. So I was that kid. I was that kid that was surrounded by animals and brought every stray home to the dismay of my mother. And it just stuck with me. I read every book about animals. I found out everything I could about animals, and it's all I've ever wanted to do with my life.
Wow! So this was sort of destiny, really, from your earliest years, and it sounds like really the kind of rescues that you now do on a pretty sophisticated level have their roots back when you were just a young boy.
Absolutely, my life took a little different path. Of course, there's no way to sort of apply for a job like this. You just kind of have to find it, or it finds you. But I was in the military and stationed here in Tampa. And I worked in the medical field, and actually after going through the Gulf War, I came back and got out of the Air Force, and then I was working in a hospital here in Tampa, and still not exactly what I wanted to do with my life.
Yeah.
And started volunteering here at Big Cat Rescue, and pretty much soon afterwards, I quit my job, I moved here on the property, and it's just been 11 years of all-consuming my entire life, and to a really good way, actually.
Wow. Really amazing. Let me just let folks know this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with Scott Lope of Tampa's Big Cat Rescue, who was recently named Animal Planet's Hero of the Year. This is a conversation that was recorded Monday. So, Scott, let me follow up on a couple things you said there. First of all, so it's 11 years that you've been with Big Cat Rescue at this point.
Yes, 11 years.
And now, also, how much of that time, because a couple of things you sort of squeezed in just a short sentence, so you live on the property currently?
I do. We, being a nonprofit, we don't make a lot of money. So part of the way that I think keeps us here all the time and also helps us with living expenses is that we do. We have housing right here on the property. And when you have over 100 animals, they need care any time of night or day. They
sure.
need to be care of every day, whether that's anyone's designated day off or not. So it's really about the only way we can run a place like this is to have our staff right here and be available all the time. It really kind of kills your social life.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, it makes sense from the standpoint of the animals, but are there days off, officially that you then can sort of get a little breather and sort of leave the grounds for a bit just to kind of recharge? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have an amazing staff here, and we work pretty well together. And I think we all get sick enough of each other that we make sure everyone gets a day off and gets to get off the property a little bit. But it's really tough for planning. You just never know what could go wrong, when we might have a bobcat hit by a car somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's really, my friends have learned to adjust over the years that I'm probably the least dependable person they know as far as making plans, because there's always something comes up that I have to change them or break them.
Sure. Well, on the other hand, that's, it's probably not really for flaky reasons. If like you say, a bobcat gets hit by a car, or you got to do a major rescue, I would think your friends are going to sort of roll with that and have learned to probably over the years. So
they do. I think they just expect that of me now. So
yeah. And so Scott, I mean, you really sound like between the description of your childhood years, and then sort of, as you say, a bit of a circuitous path through the military and working in the hospital. But did you just find, once you got more into volunteering at Big Cat Rescue, that it was like, hey, this is kind of the same satisfaction and connection I felt actually when I was a little kid? It's just obviously more involved and kind of more. More at stake, obviously, but did it feel like that sort of a connection to you when you first got back to Big Cat Rescue and started up volunteering?
Well, do you know what? It's actually pretty much the opposite. You have this ideal in your mind of what you see on TV.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to go work with these animals, and I was going to raise lion cubs, and I'd be walking them on a leash, and I would have all these pet animals, and they would love me, and I would love them, and it would just be some kind of Tarzan-like TV show that,
yeah.
This big, happy, happy, peaceful world. And then when you get a taste of reality and you realize that these are wild animals and that people are trying to force them to be pets, and it is about the worst possible thing you could do to them is to take them out of their natural environment, put them in a cage, and they can never go back to the wild. They're forced to live a long time in a totally alien environment doing the exact opposite of what they're meant to do, which, especially for us, these big predators, is to hunt things down and kill them.
Yeah.
That's how they survive. And to just realize what kind of really terrible lives they have in captivity. And isn't it people to still think that they would make a good pet, or that there's something they could keep in their backyard? And people just like me that, I was so in love with the idea of just wanting to pet a tiger or be around them. I didn't realize how just that idea made their lives so miserable and really didn't do anything to help the ones left in the wild.
Yeah.
When you see a tiger in a cage is not going to help save them in the wild.
Right. No.
That's going to have to be habitat preservation. And it's really, you know, people have trouble understanding that, but it's really, so no, it was a real wake up call. And that's, I think, what really pushed me into, you know, doing everything I can to make them have a better life and make people realize what they truly are.
Well, that is interesting that you know, on the one hand, you seem like sort of a childhood, you know, animal rescuer, but the reality in recent years of big cat rescue is you know, kind of a shocking, almost reversal of what you anticipated. And actually something you just alluded to reminded me of something that just as recently as today's news, although it happened yesterday, you probably heard about this in Ontario. This guy who was keeping all kinds of exotic animals on his property, I guess, went in yesterday to feed his 600-pound tiger, and no one was there other than the guy, so we don't know exactly what happened, but he was attacked and killed by the tiger. And, I mean, you know, I'm sure you guys hear and read about, you know, these sorts of things happening all the time for the exact reason that you cited. I mean, these are not intended to be pets or to be kept on someone's property as though they're, you know, a horse or whatever the sort of misguided vision that people seem to have, and inevitably something awful is going to happen.
Well, and that's exactly right. And it's really, you know, the idea of thinking that you would raise them right or you would take care of them right so they wouldn't attack you, you know, and you know, all of us in the industry have thought that at one point or another, well, we could do it right. But if you really think about what the animal is, you know, if you raise them right, you know, in the wild, they don't live with mom and dad.
Yeah.
When they grow up and establish their own territory, they see mom and dad as rivals for the same prey animals, for the same chunk of territory.
Sure.
So if you raise them right, they're not going to like you. They're solitary animals. They don't live in groups. And even if you want to try to somehow say it's okay for lions, because they do live in social groups, well, those lions kill each other trying to figure out who's in charge of those social groups. And it's a very complex structure that a human is just not durable enough to survive fighting their way into a pride of lions. So it's just, you can't change what they are. And I think no matter what you see on TV or no matter how cute they are as a baby, that's the thing that we just have to understand, that you can't change what they are. And what we love about these animals is what they are.
Yeah.
Not to see them in a tiny cage in someone's backyard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so Scott, I mean, so you know, here we are really, a few days into 2010, and you've been at Big Cat Rescue 11 years, and you're director of operations, where there's tons of cats that fit the description of some of what we were just talking about. Maybe you could just tell us what that position, what the director of operations at Big Cat Rescue involves.
Well, we are a nonprofit. We are one of the largest cat sanctuaries in the United States. And when I say, you know, we talk about legitimate sanctuaries, the two criteria that really say what a legitimate sanctuary is if they are not doing any breeding and if they're not doing any physical contact with their animals. Those are the two things that really, you know, separate the boys from the men and what are real sanctuaries. But we have about 120 animals. We also have about that many volunteers. We have a very, very small paid staff here. So volunteers do almost all of the work. They really help us run the place. So we spend just as much time with our volunteer program. We have a geriatric population of cats here. A lot of our cats are very old. A lot of them have outlived their usefulness in the entertainment industry, or, of course, they're much too dangerous to be household pets. They've way outgrown the few months that they're handleable as a cub.
Mm-hmm.
We get to deal with a lot of geriatric issues. So our vet care is very specialized. We're talking about animals that live almost twice as long as their bodies are designed to. You know, we have lions and tigers that are pushing 20 or even a little older, and an old tiger in the wild would be 10 years old. They'd be lucky to live that long. So we're really talking about animals that are living double their lifespan, and their bodies wear out. They get different cancers. They get arthritis. They have renal failure. So there's a lot of stuff for us to deal with just in taking care of them.
Sure.
You know, and our commitment here is to give them the best life in captivity possible. So we build all of our enclosures. They're, of course, all outdoors. And we try to specialize them for the type of cat, the type of animal that's going to live in them. With all of our tigers, we give them a pool to swim in. With our arboreal animals like the ocelots and the bobcats that like to climb, we give them cages with lots of full trees in them so they can climb up in the trees. So it's really a lot of work just figuring out what to feed everybody each day and what kind of environment to let them live in. And then the best part is to just kind of leave them alone so they can be cats.
Sure.
They can be the solitary animals. We also have a huge enrichment committee, and they make little fun things for these cats to tear apart and destroy every day. And if you think about these cats, they're like your cat at home. They're really happy, you know, to sleep 23 hours a day. They really don't mind sleeping.
Sure.
So we're kind of lucky in that respect. But when they're up for that hour, they want some good food, and they want something to tear up. They want something to do.
Right.
So we make all kinds of little treats and toys out of cardboard or even paper towel tubes and all fun things that have different scents on them, maybe different ingredients, and hide them in the cage. Just give them something to do to just make their lives a little better.
Right.
And then, of course, at feeding time, they're all up and ready to eat. So that one's pretty easy.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that's pretty straightforward, like, you know, apply meat and get out of the way and let the cats take care of it from there. So let people know, this is Talking Animals. We're speaking with Scott Lope of Tampa's Big Cat Rescue, who was recently named Animal Planet's Hero of the Year in a conversation recorded Monday. And actually, let's talk a bit about that recent honor, Scott. I mean, how does one even get considered for Animal Planet's Hero of the Year, and what's the process, and when did you first learn that you were in the running?
Well, this is a contest that they have on their website, that Animal Planet runs on their website every year, and it's just basically anyone can write in and nominate someone who works with animals or who's making a difference in animals' lives. And I guess they had about 4,500 entries this year, 4,500 write-ins, and they narrowed that down to the top 10, and I was lucky enough to be in the top 10. And then they put it to a vote. They put it out on an internet vote, and then they have a few other areas that they look at, how influential you are to inspire people to help animals, basically what the scope of your operations is, and then just straight out your internet vote. So somehow I managed to win all those things or come out on top, and they named me their Hero of the Year for 2009.
Well, I think that's fantastic. Congratulations. So, how does that feel, and what does that mean, you know, on one level or another to you?
Well, you know, I mean, on a personal level, I couldn't be more happy. And it's just, I feel that the work I do is so important. And here at Big Cat Rescue and all of the animals that we speak for, all of the exotics in captivity, I think it's so important to educate people. So I think that's giving me a much broader platform to really reach people. And I do a lot of different TV stuff for Animal Planet, for Discovery Channel. And this is just going to increase my profile on there so I can really be a voice for these animals that nobody seems to want to really speak about. It's sort of a dirty secret.
Sure.
You know, everyone likes to watch TV shows that have lion cubs on it. Everyone likes to see the circus where these animals are doing all this stuff. So no one, they don't want someone to say, you know, point out the realities of it, that it's really a miserable existence for the animals. So I think that's the best thing.
Yeah.
About the award and this, you know, this honor is that I'm really going to be able to further my cause, which is being a voice for these animals.
Yeah, it sounds like kind of, among other things, it's going to afford you just a larger kind of, you know, educational platform to really speak to people who may not kind of realize what all is behind, you know, the you know, those cute, cuddly little tiger cubs then grow into big tigers that have to go somewhere, and what the implications of that are. And also, Scott, if I'm not mistaken, there was some, I think $10,000 to whatever the organization that person, in this case you, represents. So I assume Big Cat Rescue received that as part of the prize. But wasn't there
right.
also a trip to a destination of the winner's choice, that a place that would support, you know, your animal welfare passion? Was that sort of part of the prize package as well?
Absolutely. We got $10,000 that went here to Big Cat Rescue. And then personally, I did get a trip anywhere I want in the world, and that's a $15,000 trip, and that was actually sponsored by Fresh Step Kitty Litter, and which is kind of ironic,
considering yeah.
the cats I work with. But it's
right.
a trip anywhere I want, and they do, you know, that they want it to be somewhere eco-friendly, and it somehow relates to the field I do. Which, luckily enough for me, with all the different sorts of animals that I work with, I can pretty much pick about anywhere in the world and still find something that relates to the work I do here at Big Cat Rescue. So I've got the whole world to choose this amazing trip, so I'm really excited about that.
Okay, so it sounds like you haven't yet selected the destination, but you're kind of mulling the possibilities.
Yeah, I kind of have it narrowed down. There's a few places in Africa that are really appealing, maybe climbing Mount Kilimanjaro or going to see the mountain gorillas. There's some really intriguing things there, so I have a feeling it's going to be in Africa somewhere.
Sure. Well, Scott, we're just about nearing the end of our time here, unfortunately, on Talking Animals, but let me just sort of finally wrap up by asking what, sort of given your many years there and the recent award, et cetera, I'd just be curious to know what's the single best thing about working at Big Cat Rescue for you at this point?
You know, the single best thing of working here is seeing seeing a light bulb go on in someone's head, that light bulb, that idea, when they finally get what I'm talking about, or when we're explaining something about the situations of these animals and how horrible it is that there's more tigers in the backyards than there are left in the wild. Just seeing that little bit of recognition when you know you've done it. You've changed someone's mind and you've made them realize what you're working so hard to fix.
That's great. Well, that seems like a really, really good place to sort of leave this conversation. I certainly had many more things I was hoping to address with you, but we have reached the end of our time. But thank you, Scott, for making the time. This has been Scott Loeb from Big Cat Rescue, and they have a fabulous, really kind of rich, sprawling website, bigcatrescue.org. And if you're listening in the Tampa Bay area, which most folks are for Talking Animals, maybe we'll be lucky enough to take one of those tours that Scott alluded to. So again, Scott, thanks so much for making the time to join us today on Talking Animals. Congratulations on your award, and thanks for all your great work over the years with all these big cats.
Great. Thank you very much, Duncan.
Thanks, Scott. Bye-bye.
I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a Talking Animals mug, to the first person I receive an email from, in this case, at talkinganimals@AOL.com, correctly identifying this big cat-oriented animal tune. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. All right, we aim to please. We try to give you the answer as we ask you the question. Anyways, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll return Wednesday, February 3rd. I hope you'll join me then. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. Again, mark your calendar for the first Talking Animals Festival, April 11th at the Cuban Club in Ybor City. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. In this case, it's big cat-centric. This is Split Lip Rayfield with Tiger in My Tank on WMNF Tampa.